Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, this week we continue our study on the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth and how biblical Babylon is significant to the actual procedure for the Lord's return. Today I want to lay out the scriptures that reveal to us how the end time events at the second coming, or the return of Jesus, will actually unfold. We'll need to look at several passages of Scripture and how the Lord uses a number of prophets to foretell how God will accomplish His plan for the return of Jesus. We come to an understanding of God's plan by studying His Word as given to His spokesman, the ancient Jewish prophets. Last week, we concluded our study in Matthew 24. We'll begin our study today also in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, the most profound prophetic conference ever held in history, and Jesus Christ was the teacher. Please take your Bibles and let's go to Matthew 24.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
I want to go and lay out the scenario of how everything's going to unfold at the end times. But before we leave Matthew 24, let me show you one additional verse. I want you to remember verse 31 and the sound of the trumpet. But look at verse 37 as well. Jesus Christ has finished basically His Olivet Discourse. And then, as many of us preachers do, and I guess we're on good ground because Jesus did it, He remembers something else He wants to pass along to them. And, you know, you've been there with preachers preaching. All of a sudden, he seems to be closing his Bible, and you're saying, wow, it's about over. Praise the Lord. We can go have lunch. I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking. But anyway, you know, and then all of a sudden, he'll say, oh, man, I forgot something else. And he wants to bring that in. That's almost what Jesus does. Look at verse 37. After he's finished the Olivet Discourse, after he's told them that anybody seeing these things happen, that generation shall not pass away, he brings this to their attention. Look what he says, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Very interesting statement that he makes in the context of telling the Jewish people how it's going to be when he comes back to the earth. Now, you've got those two points. I want you to do something for me right now. I want you to find in your Bible, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19. And then I also want you to go over to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. Let me tell you that there's a wonderful principle found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. That principle is this: there's no prophecy of private interpretation. What that means is the book of Nahum cannot contradict the book of Revelation. The book of Obadiah cannot contradict the book of Ezekiel. And the book of Zephaniah cannot contradict the book of Daniel. All Bible prophecy must fit like a hand in a glove together. You don't use this proof text to try to disprove something else unless all of Bible prophecy conforms to exactly what you're saying. You have to have the overall big picture of Bible prophecy. You have to take all the information, assimilate it together, and then come to your conclusion. It's very dangerous for you to take one little verse and try to disprove what people have been saying for years from their study of the Word of God. So you have to be very distinct when you study Bible prophecy. Now, I'm going to lay out for you the scenario that is going to take place for the second coming of Jesus Christ. After I have done that, and I want you to have that in your mind, but after I've done that, I'm going to show you the event in history that must take place, the last thing to happen before Jesus Christ comes back. If you've got Zechariah chapter 14, and then keep over there marked or with your finger or something, Revelation chapter 19. We're going to go back and forth between these two passages. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2. Notice what is said. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Here is the text. If you're going to find any place in the Bible, and I mentioned this, I believe, yesterday, any place in the Bible where you're going to see the United States in Bible prophecy would have to be here, when all the nations of the world gather at Jerusalem. We often talk about the Battle of Armageddon. May I suggest it should not be called the battle, but instead the campaign of Armageddon. Armageddon is referring to the location Har-Megiddo, which means the valley of slaughter or the valley of death. We're talking about a campaign. It doesn't immediately happen in the Jezreel Valley, that battlefield, but instead it begins in Jerusalem. And right here we see all the nations of the world. Book of Revelation, chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, says, Satan, Antichrist, and false prophets will use signs, wonders, and miracles to gather all the nations of the world into Jerusalem. And that's a location where they're going to start this campaign of Armageddon. All the nations of the world. How many would that be? Well, I don't know. I think, if I'm correct, the United Nations has 197 nations that are member states in the United Nations. That being the case, let me be as conservative as I possibly can with this example. Let's say that 100 of these nations would gather together. And then also, I think very conservative, let's say that they had 1 million members of their military force to come with them to Jerusalem with this gathering of all the nations. Now, that is not in Scripture anyplace. This is sanctified speculation that indeed there would be a number of nations. If it's 197, I'm using half of them. And I'm saying 1 million soldiers apiece for each of those nations that will gather. And I think that would probably work out in the long run to be a fairly good estimate. 100 million soldiers will be gathering in Jerusalem. They will ravish the city, rape the women, and take the people into captivity. Now keep your finger here. We'll come back to Zechariah and go to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Revelation 19, 11. And here's what we read in 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clean with in fine linen, wearing, that was the clothing that they were wearing, and that would be their wedding garment that they will be wearing when they come with Jesus Christ on those white horses coming back to the earth. Now go back over to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. Keep your place in chapter 19. In chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is there, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the south, and half of it toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now look at verse 5. And ye shall flee unto the valley of the mountains. Keep that in your mind. Who is fleeing here? It is not the Jewish people fleeing when Jesus Christ comes back to the Mount of Olives. If anything, they're rushing to him as quickly as they possibly can because he is their Messiah. They will recognize him. That's what the word says in chapter 12 of the book of Zechariah. So they will rush to him at that time. The ones fleeing would be that mighty army of 100 million soldiers estimated that have gathered in the city of Jerusalem for the campaign of Armageddon. It's a 97-mile trip from the city of Jerusalem to the Jezreel Valley. When the Mount of Olives splits, it opens up a way for them to move, listen, to the Jezreel Valley. It says, and ye shall flee unto the valley of the mountains. If you've never been in Jerusalem, or you've never been in Israel, or, for example, if you've never been in the Jezreel Valley, I could stand at Megiddo in the Jezreel Valley. Over here to my west, Mount Carmel. Up to the north, the mountains of Nazareth. Out to the east would be Mount Tabor, Mount Moreh. Mount Gilboa. Down to the south would be the mountains of Samaria. It is a strategic battlefield, according to Napoleon. General Napoleon battled there, and he said it's 1,000 square miles. It's 16 miles wide, 67 miles long, 1,000 square miles, and a perfectly flat area, a great battlefield. And also, it's helping to accommodate re-strategizing as to what to do the next day if you're in the battle. For example, they fight in the field during the daytime in the Jezreel Valley, 1,000 square miles, and then they go up to the slopes of the mountain, bivouac, and re-strategize to come a fight again another day. Anyway, this is the Valley of the Mountains that it's talking about. And so during this period of time, these many, many soldiers, maybe 100 million of them, are going to have to transport themselves all the way to the Jezreel Valley. Now, how will they be traveling at this time? Remember, this is the end of the seven-year tribulation period. And all types of wars, rumors of wars, nations against nation, kingdom against kingdom, half the earth has been destroyed. What type of even mechanical vehicles will they have to move the armies, the troop carriers, etc.? What about helicopters? I don't think many of these things are going to be available. I think they'll probably be traveling, most of them, by horseback. At that point in time, it will have been reduced to that, but they'll have to go to the Jezreel Valley. Now what happens? Go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation, chapter 19, and look at verse 15. In verse 14, it says, we follow with him, and then it says, as he is going to come back, it says that, and out of his mouth shall go a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations and should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. Now, I'll get to that in just a moment and describe what's going to happen, but look at verse 16. We call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's where it comes in, that he becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh. In other words, on his clothing, on his thigh, he has written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's where he now becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today, he's the Son of God at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me, not seated on the throne. Hebrews chapters 1, 8, 10, and 12. He's there to be our special advocate, 1 John chapter 2. But when he comes back now, he's going to tread the winepress of the fierce and the wrath of Almighty God. Go to chapter 14 of Revelation. Chapter 14 of Revelation. Let me show you something here. Last two verses of chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. I'm doing this chronologically. I'm not doing it numerically. As you study Revelation, you'll never understand Revelation. If you study it numerically, you have to study it chronologically. Chapter 14, verse 19. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and he gathered the vine of the earth, and he cast it into that great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, without the city of Jerusalem. And blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, and reduced to miles, that is approximately 176 miles, that this blood is going to flow as high as the horse's bridle. You ask me if I believe that's literal. I do believe it's literal.
Indeed, I do believe Revelation 14, verses 19 and 20, the prophecy of blood flowing as high as the horse's bridle during the Battle of Armageddon, is literal, as well as the prophecies of this coming mother of all battles. God's prophetic word will be fulfilled. What happens after this horrific battle that takes place in the Jezreel Valley in Israel will be our focus next week. I'll also discuss what happens immediately prior to the second coming. This is the prophetic scenario that reveals the significance of biblical Babylon, modern-day Iraq, in God's plan for the future. This is the time when we will look at current events in light of biblical prophecy. This will be an important study. Please join us. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up until...